moxie, force of character, determination, or nerve. I'm Sierra Benson, and you're listening to The Moxie Mindset. Is designed to help you grow a healthier, growth-oriented mindset. I've reached out to college professors and professionals who have agreed to come into the studio to help us learn more in depth about the communication and leadership skills we need to succeed. Thank you for joining us on The Moxie Mindset. I'm super stoked for today's episode. But before we jump into today's episode, I just want to let you guys know about this giveaway I'm doing with a planner company I've used since my freshman year of college. Shaneko has agreed to give away one of her famed S planners, the ones I've raved about on my Instagram stories that include both an hourly schedule by week and block plans above where you can write in anything you need to do that day. I use it to write in my syllabi for each of my classes, and you can also use it for anything extracurricular or work-related. All you have to do to enter the giveaway is to download this episode on whatever platform you're listening on and post it to your story on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure to tag both me and Shanae's profiles at Sierra.Benson and Shanae Co. That is Sierra period Benson and Shanaco. Then you'll be entered to win the planner. Now this is going to go for 2 weeks, ending on September 21st, so don't miss out. You can enter to win on multiple platforms, multiple times, by downloading every episode I put out and tagging both of us on either platform. Now, let's get right into today's episode. Brett Crane is an assistant professor of management at the John M. Huntsman School of Business at Utah State University. His research focuses on mindsets and dynamic leadership. Brett has a PhD in business administration from the Darden School of Business at the University of Virginia and an MBA and BA from Brigham Young University. Before joining the faculty at the Huntsman School of Business, he was a visiting professor at the George Washington School of Business in Washington, D.C. He is a former operations executive of a Fortune 250 company and sales professional at IBM. Brett has also consulted for clients across a wide variety of segments, including biotech, retail, financial services, restaurant, utilities, and nonprofit, providing strategy and organizational design expertise. Thank you so much for coming on, Professor Crane. I just kind of wanted to ask, how did you get into wanting to study this type of material, especially with mindsets?
Well, it's a great question, and it probably goes back longer than I can remember. I won't bore you with all the details, but you know, as I decided what I wanted to do when I grew up, I wanted to understand leadership and what made effective leaders. I was inspired to have good leaders in my life and see the impact that they had on me, and also see poor leaders and the impact, the negative impact that they can have on others. And so I went to study at the University of Virginia and got a PhD in leadership and in business administration. And one of my mentors there was a gentleman by the name of Ryan Quinn, who was writing a book called Lift. And he had done a lot of research on mindsets and how mindsets are associated with our learning, our action, and our ability to lead. And so working with him, we started to conduct some studies and find some really interesting things that changed how I thought about mindsets. And so prior to, you know, 15 years ago, we thought about leadership as great men or great women. And we studied people like Winston Churchill or Theresa May or other people who were powerful in their own right. And we looked at the traits and behaviors that were associated with leadership. And we came up with these great men and great women theories about what it takes to be leaders, and attributed leadership to a very few individuals. Well, what's been exciting is in the last few years, we've actually found through a number of studies, including my own research, that variance in leadership is greater within individuals than it is across individuals. So let me put it a little bit differently. Leadership is not just something that's stagnant or change or that does not change, but something that ebbs and flows over time. And so someone can be a great leader in one moment. They can be a poor leader in another. They can be a great leader 1 hour, one day, and then be a poor leader the next hour or next day. And I think that's really empowering because it makes leadership accessible to all of us. And I think it relates to us because each of us can think about times when we were at our best as leaders. Well, maybe we don't have the DNA or think we have the DNA of leadership, but we have had moments where we've had impact on others, when we've been able to influence, to lead, to do something significant. And each of those moments of greatness should empower us to think about how we can do those again. And so that's what led me to understand and try to study mindsets, because mindsets are really those things that are the psychological foundations of our behavior. And they guide how we think, how we process information, how we act, how we lead, probably more so than we actually realize. And our mindsets change over time, and our mindsets can be fleeting. And so because our mindsets can fluctuate and are dynamic, it can help us understand why our leadership fluctuates and why it's dynamic.
That is a really great answer. I've definitely studied a little bit about mindsets. That's really cool that you were able to study under the man who wrote Lift. It's on my book list, and I'm excited to read it this summer. Why should we care about mindsets if they're so fleeting and dynamic?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. I think it's one of those things that guides almost everything that we do or say over the course of a day. And let me just put an example out there to help you understand. So, and this is something that I fall prey to. You know, you see someone who is on the side of the road, who's homeless and who's asking for money. And if you were to approach that as a mindset, a negative mindset, you might think about that person and the choices that they made to get themselves in that situation. You might be more judgmental. And as a result, you might refrain from actually doing anything to help that individual. Now, if you had a different mindset, a more positive mindset, and you thought of that person as someone who was doing the best they could and giving them the benefit of the doubt, how would your interaction be different with that person? How might you respond to perhaps a need in that moment? And so our mindset, this lens that we see the world, can really influence how we see other people and how we interact with them.
Oh, that's fantastic. What are the mindsets associated with leadership then?
So this is not an exhaustive list, and there are certainly, this is an emerging field, and there's a lot of different mindsets that people are studying. There's a great book by Ryan Gofferson who just wrote a book on successful mindsets, and he does a lot of interesting work, and we hope to do some research together. But let me just say that some of our negative mindsets are born out of good desires. So if we wanted to really look at people's behaviors and understand them, we could, if we were giving them the benefit of the doubt, we might see that they're actually trying to do the right thing, trying to do the best they can. So one desire that we have is to look good. People want to look good. They have this natural desire to have a strong ego, to build self-esteem. That's part of who we are as individuals. Unfortunately, trying to look good can get in the way of being an effective leader. We want to avoid problems. Now, no one wants to have a problem-ridden life. Studies at this college or others where they run into problems on a regular basis, it's just natural for people to want to avoid problems. But avoiding problems can also undermine our ability to lead. Another motivation or mindset that can get in the way of us leading effectively is a desire to do what's best for ourselves. We all want to get ahead. We all want to, make progress on things that are meaningful for us. But unfortunately, that mindset can also get in the way of us being effective. And so we need to work on how do we take those mindsets and then perhaps replace them with others. Now, here's a few that I'll share with you. Rather than a desire to look good, because if we look good, if we want to look good, we're going to always put ourselves in situations where we know we'll be successful. And unfortunately, wanting to look good gets in the way of growth. And we know that growth takes a risk. It takes putting ourselves in positions that are uncomfortable. You know, Carol Dweck has done some amazing work on this. And the mindset that we really need to embrace is growth mindset. And that means that we look at challenge in a different light because we think of ourselves differently. So she did some work with trying to understand why some children were more resilient than others in their studies in elementary school. And as she looked at these students, she gave them a series of difficult challenges, and more difficult challenges than their grade would allow them to really understand. And she found that there was a group of individuals that would say, that would see the challenge and quickly check out. And there were another group of individuals that would see the challenge and say, I was hoping this would be informative. I'm really excited about this challenge. And she was floored that people, that these children had this type of response. But it happened consistently in a group of individuals. What was the difference between these people that really saw a challenge and embraced it and persevered until they were able to achieve or make progress through that challenge? Well, the difference that she found was key. The people that embraced challenge thought differently about their abilities than people that shied away from challenge. She found that they had a growth mindset, that they believed that their abilities could actually grow over time with persistence. The people that had a fixed mindset that shied away from challenge, who wanted to put themselves in situations that made them look good, thought that their abilities were fixed. And so they only wanted to choose things that allowed them to be able to reaffirm their ego, reaffirm things that they currently had. So you can see why growth mindset and fixed mindset would have such an impact on our ability to lead. One, leaders have to be competent. And with everything that is going on in our world, we have to adapt and learn and change. And so leaders that simply want to look good fight the tendency to put themselves out there, ask the questions, admit that they could be wrong, seek truth rather than trying to be right, and really involve other people in coming up with a collective solution. And so growth mindset is one that we can all work on and embrace. Another one is to be purpose-centered. And as I talked about earlier, one of the things that's natural for all of us is to avoid problems. So avoiding problems can only get us so far in what we want to accomplish. And other people have studied this as a prevention versus a promotion mindset. So a prevention mindset means I want to minimize problems. A mindset means I want to go after something that's really important to me. So think about this as someone who's a captain of a ship. So if you're in the middle of the ocean and you have a prevention mindset and you want to get from point A to point B and a storm comes along, what do you do as a result? You run, right? You want to prevent that problem from happening. You want to avoid that storm because you know that that will be challenging in and of itself. Now, if you have a promotion mindset, you understand you need to get to a destination. And that destination might mean that we have to get through that particular storm. So that we have to do certain things, batten down the hatches, do safety procedures. But that drive ultimately pushes us to push through the challenges so that we can achieve our destination. And so people who have a promotion mindset are leaders that are effective in inspiring people to push through challenges towards an eventual goal. All right, we think about some of the things that we're struggling with, racial inequality, with COVID-19. These are all challenges that need to be dealt with. If we have only a prevention mindset, trying to minimize things, how much progress will our leaders actually make? But if we have a promotion mindset, if we have a clear vision, if we can see into the future something that we want to accomplish that will have great meaning and impact on our society and our communities, then we're willing to push through some of those challenges that are required along the way. The other one that I'll just mention briefly is that goes against our desire to do what's best for ourselves. Certainly, we don't want to diminish the fact that we have unique needs and wants, and those are important. But if those become the overriding mindset by which we view our work and our relationships, we can understand how that would undermine our ability to lead other people. We've been around people who want to do things because it elevates them, because it furthers their cause. And that doesn't engender trust or loyalty. That actually diminishes our feelings of commitment towards that person and the cause that they are working on. So think about this. When's the last time that you sat on a plane? And we've done this, we've all done this before. It's been some time since we've sat on a plane. Hopefully we get back to there soon. But you are in a seat and you're waiting to load, and perhaps you're on Southwest and there's no predetermined seating. So if the plane's filling up, you've got a great position right next to the window and the two seats are next to you. What is your attitude towards the travelers that are coming in? Whose needs are more important, theirs or yours? And as a result, what action do you take? So as people come by and they look at the seat, do you kind of get bigger? Do you put maybe a backpack in the middle? Do you kind of look away so you don't look as though you're friendly or someone that would want to engage in a conversation so that you could have that extra seat? Now, what are you doing in that moment? You're protecting your own needs at the detriment of perhaps someone else's needs. Now, if we take this to an extreme, we can start to see other people's objects. When we see other people's objects to be used for our own purposes, they can feel that from them. They can understand that they're actually instruments that we're trying to use to be able to further our own desires. And ultimately, that deteriorates meaningful relationships. So what leaders do is they have a different mindset. They think about others first. They have a servant leadership mentality where they try and understand, they try and empathize, they act with compassion, and they truly see the humanity in other people. They don't see them as objects. They see other people who need to be a part of a decision, part of an organization, to be fully engaged to where they can bring themselves to work, to be part of a team where they also want to get an A, perhaps, on their paper. And that A is just as important to them as it is important to you. And so seeing other people as individuals and being other-focused allows us to build stronger relationships and allows us to better collaborate.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for outlining some of the mindsets that we should have. How do we get from checking out when we see something difficult in the way to being able to embrace that storm?
So it starts with some self-reflection. So one of the beautiful things about talking about mindsets is that we have a vocabulary to talk about them. You know, we actually can name them, and we can describe them, and we can then do self-assessments to see where we are on particular scales. So do I fall under a prevention mindset? Let's look at my past experience. What happens when controversy, or when there's confrontation, or when I disagree with somebody else about how we should be working as a team, or how this relationship should be going? Is my default to run the other direction, to minimize the confrontation, to avoid it, to walk away from a problem or a challenge? Or is my default to look at the bigger picture, consider someone else's needs, to integrate their needs in how we work moving forward? And so the first is really the first step in any person's leadership development journey is self-awareness. To understand what your default is, what are the lenses, what are the mindsets that I tend to bring to interactions? And then based on your assessment, to identify specific mechanisms and strategies, perhaps people who you're in your circle of influence that can work with you. So change tends to happen in a few ways. And one is crisis. So when we have things going really bad, we are more willing to change. It also happens when we have positive peer support. So if we can include other people in our circle, maybe our friends, maybe our brother, maybe a mother, and say, this is one of the things that I've realized about myself, and it's actually inhibiting my ability to be successful, to be a leader. Can you please tell me if you see this mindset? Because even though mindset is subconscious, we can actually see the manifestation of it in other people's behavior. So if we can empower them to see the behaviors, then they can call us on those behaviors, and we can start to take steps to make corrections.
When we're making those steps to corrections, what would the challenges be?
Well, there's a few things that we want to consider. One, how willing are you to change? So anytime that I work with someone and try and coach them to be a better leader, to live a more effective life, the first thing I want to gauge within them is their willingness to change. So are you ready? What is it about your life? What is it about this time in your life that allows you, that motivates you to make change? Because change is not easy. Change is going to come with setbacks. And so the person has to be in a place to where they're humble and receptive and willing to change. The second thing is, one, do you know what the right strategies are? So have you done the research? Have you read the books? Have you looked at some of the science? Do you have an effective coach that will help you to identify, to co-create effective strategies? And so the self-awareness, the willingness to change, and then the identification. And then do you have the persistence to be able to push through when you have a setback? When things don't go as planned, are you willing to adapt and improvise without throwing the baby out with the bathwater? Is that goal important to you enough that you're willing to continue to perhaps try a different strategy that'll allow you to accomplish what you're trying to do?
Thank you. What have been some of your favorite books in accomplishing this change in mindset?
Well, I mentioned the one by Ryan Gottfredson. Carol Dweck has another great book about growth mindset. Lift by Ryan Quinn and his father, Bob Quinn, have been instrumental. And someday, hopefully, you'll be able to read my book when it's written about mindsets. But those are probably the three most influential thus far.
Oh, thank you so much. I always need books to read, books to put on my list. I just have a couple more questions for you. My first one would be, what would you say to your younger self in a college or high school position?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why these mindsets really appeal to me is because I suffered from negative mindsets that I think inhibited a lot of opportunity. So one of the things that prevented me as an adolescent was wanting to look good, wanting to look good in front of my peers, wanting to look good in front of people that were watching me play sports, wanting to look good even in front of my parents, trying to please them. And I think that prevented me from taking risk, from putting myself out there and trying things that I probably was capable of if I worked hard enough at it, and from actually performing better in the things that were important to me. And so I think seeing risk and failure in a different light, that the more I fail, the quicker I fail, the faster I would learn how to succeed. And I think that was a very different mindset in how I approach things. And so that's what I'd share with myself.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. My last question would be, how can we find you if we have questions? Do you have a website? Do you have any works or research that we can see?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can Google me. I'm on the USU Huntsman School website. It has my Vita on there. The other thing I'd suggest is going out to the Covey Center. So there's a leadership center that I help co-found here at the university at Utah State University. And it has phenomenal resources, including if you're a student here, you can sign up for one-on-one coaching to learn about your unique strengths. You can engage also in a small study group with your peers that study the 7 habits of effective people. So you share the habits of effectiveness, and then you think about, you set goals about how you're going to apply them, and then you meet with the group the following week that holds you accountable for your implementation. So it's a really powerful way to not only to learn, but to make those important changes in your life. We also have international trips. Those have been put on hold, but we are planning tentatively one to South Africa, a leadership trip to Cape Town, South Africa in May 2021. So I encourage you to go out to the website and take a look at some of the programs that we offer for leadership development.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. I actually did take the strength coaching, and it was actually incremental in kind of giving me more clarity in what I'm good at and going for what I want. I was able to decide between two really big positions on whether or not I wanted to apply for one of them or not. And ultimately, I made the decision that most suited my strengths, and I was able to actually get the job. And I love what I'm doing now. So I
love
just
it.
Wanted to thank
That's
you for that.
That's great feedback. Yeah, if we can find things and activities and work where we do, where we have an opportunity to exercise our strengths every day, you know, that's really the key to success and happiness in the long term. So I'm glad it worked out, and you got some good feedback.
Thank you. And thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Crane.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's Sierra, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope it led you to a more positive mindset, a more defined view of leadership, and some action items to take along with you. Don't forget to subscribe and download today's episode, and then post it to your Instagram or Facebook story and tag us at Sierra.Benson and Shineko to enter into the planner giveaway that I've partnered with Shineko on. For more information, you can check out the Moxie website at themoxiemindset.org. Thanks for tuning in today, and I'll see you next week on The Moxie Mindset.